Good morning, everyone. Hello. My name is Jerry Bonuya. I am the Director of Family Ministries here at our church. I have quite the privilege to be part of youth group, college ministry, kids, parents. It's just so amazing to do so. It's me, you know I will. I had two quick connections in the back just for 2 minutes, and one of the dads comes up to me and says, "Thank you for taking care of my kids." And I had one of my girls, former students, I haven't seen her in a long time. And, you know, whenever people ask, "Oh, how many kids do you have?" Like, my brain tells me, "Oh, I got two amazing kids." But really, what my heart says is, I don't know, 120-something? Like, I literally think that because I love these kids so much. And they give my everything, I mean, even to the depths of some struggles. But it's because I love them, and the Lord has blessed me with this ministry, and I'm so grateful for it. And seeing the kids being promoted, it's so awesome and so exciting, and also means a year closer for the little ones to come up to Magnetic in our high school youth group. So awesome. Congratulations to all the kids. And today we'll be sharing about our Japan missions team, which is comprised of mainly high school and college groups. So I'm so grateful to have this opportunity. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Peter Han. He's the one who set this up. Church family, friend of ours, and we're so grateful for him and connecting our churches from here all the way to Japan. And when Pastor Barry asked me about this trip, initially I'm like, I'm good. I got plenty of work to do. I got plenty of ministry opportunities. That's a lot. I've never been on an international missions trip. So I felt like I needed to be prepared. I needed to fully be ready. So I was like, oh, I don't know. I really had a lot of doubts. And so he's like, okay, right? The gracious Pastor Barry way. He's like, No problem. He backs off knowing that the Lord will stir my heart, and he sure did. But the first person I'd like to introduce on the team is the one who said yes, or at least I'm interested. And when I heard he was interested, I said, oh, that's going to be fun. Oh, so let me introduce Matt DeGucci. Come on up, Matt. So, Matt, you know, we are been good friends for a long time, and what was the stirring in your heart when you first heard about Japan?
Initially I was really excited. My first international trip was to Japan 20 years ago when I was in 12 and, you know, doing some shenanigan things out there, but, there was a stirring to go out again, and the timing felt right, and one thing the Lord told me before the trip is, I have this mentality when it comes to mission trip to say, if I say yes to go to it, I'm going to say yes to everything out there. But the Lord was stirring to me, if you have this mentality going to a mission trip, why do you not have this mentality everywhere, not just the missions trip? So it's been a constant theme of surrender and obedience and stepping into faith. So that's why I want to go.
Yeah, awesome. You know, there's an aspect of hearing that you're going to go to an international country and to be there for a month. It's kind of daunting. But when I heard it was Matt that's possible to be there for one full month, together I felt like, oh, we have the same all-in mentality. Like, because for me, I can't do it just like half-heartedly or, you know, a mixture of spirit and flesh, like, I can't do that, or be, you know, surfacey. No, I knew he could go deep. I know that he would be all in. I knew that he could go 100%, and that it's all done for the Lord, and I'm just so grateful that Matt said yes, and we had this awesome experience. So, yeah, thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
But then there's still that aspect that creeps in of, like, okay, a month is a long time. right? A month is a long time to be away from family, to be away from the comforts of home. And I felt like, oh, we needed one more person to be on the team, to be there the whole month as the other two teams split their 2 weeks. And so as I was praying about it, I felt like this person was perfect for that, not only because of their skills, but because of how they're led by the Spirit and how gracious they are. So let me introduce Sydney Lee to the group. Yay. So Sydney, you first said yes to the team in general.
Yeah.
But then I asked you about, hey, would you want to go for the whole month? Mm-hmm. What was that process like for you?
At first I was like, a month? That's a long time. But I thought about it more, I prayed about it, and I felt like, well, what better thing to do with my summer than to serve the Lord and do that in Japan and do that with people that I love? So that's kind of how I said yes to a month in Japan.
So good. And so as the trip went on, Sydney was there for every moment where I needed to, and to me, as awesome as we all did, on the personal level, she was our MVP of the team. The way that she brought her positivity, the way that she continued to say, hey, remind us, hey guys, like, what does the Lord think? What does the Lord think? Kept us grounded. When I needed help wrangling our 22 people, she was the one, all right, guys, here we go. Let's listen up, right? The teacher in her always came out, but really the way that she did it, so sweet and so relational. Couldn't have done it without her. So big time thank you to Sydney to be a part of the team. Okay, so next what we'll do is we're going to introduce our two various teams. So, Damon, could you please show our first video of Team 1? So let's welcome up Team 1. Come on, Team 1. Okay, Team 1, this was the experimental group. This was definitely the discovery adventure group. We had never been to Japan as an international team with this church. So it was our first time. There's lots of things to experience. So I'd like you guys to introduce your names and grades at school that you go to.
My name is Micah. I'm a second year, and I go to Biola University.
My name is Jordan, and I go to North High. I'm an incoming senior.
I'm Mimi. I'm becoming a junior, third year of high school, and I go to Cerritos.
I'm Garrett. I'm going into my third year of college at Biola University.
Sean, first year, Rio Hondo. Yeah.
My name is Evan. I'm going into my third year in college at Cal State Long Beach. Hey.
Hello, I'm Marcy. I'm starting a new job at Chapman University this week.
Okay, thank you so much. Let me actually bring up Marcy and Mimo as our first pairing to come and share. We'll have Matt and Sydney up here. Have you guys watched YouTube? There's this thing called YouTube on the internet. Have you heard of YouTube? Have you seen YouTube videos that have like reaction videos? So you're watching a video of a video? Yes? That's what Matt and Sydney will do. So they'll probably provide you commentary. They might share different weird noises as they're watching the video. They might ask some insightful things, and they just might add to the different stories that come about. So kids, that's what these guys are doing up here. Okay, with Marcy and Mimo, so grateful for the two of you. I felt like we needed a mom presence, right, to the group. What did you call this pairing?
Yeah, this pairing's the Team Moms. Also, the Breakfast Crew woke up every morning to get food for all of us. And I was for sure sleeping till 8 a.m. every morning.
So yes, very grateful, obviously, for the logistics and providing us the nourishment for our team, just especially the nurturing care that you bring as mothers to our group. We definitely needed it, and it was definitely felt. So to help our congregation understand what we did in Japan, can you two share what the process was like and the purpose of all of it?
Okay, yes. So our understanding of this mission trip was we are going to partner with a church in Fukuoka that Pastor Peter introduced us to. They are a Pentecostal Korean Japanese-speaking church, yes, with a school, an international school of children aged from kindergarten through seventh grade. About 14 kids is what we were told, and we are there to teach English to them for 4 weeks. And that is the information that we had.
So when we get that information, what was the process like to prepare for the trip?
Okay, so there's a lot of question marks. There's like, oh, there's a lot of details there that, you know, we had like, we knew like how many kids roughly in each grade and things like that, but we weren't sure if we were teaching all the kids at once. Are we teaching one group at a time? So we're like, okay, well, I guess we're gonna assume that we're gonna teach all the kids at once for four periods a day. And so that means we need four lessons per day for 4 weeks. And so there was a lot going into that, just trying to come up with these different lessons and themes and how to be age appropriate when it's K to seven, and how we're, you know, and just really having, yeah, just like preparing things with big question marks over our heads. And then also we knew we would be doing things with and for the church, but we didn't know what. So maybe worship, maybe prayer meetings, maybe, we don't know. So, and then plus all the travel plans and like physical, logistical things.
Yeah. And so with all of that, we get there, and what, how did it turn out?
It's time to trust the Lord. I mean, it's always time to trust the Lord. But yes, when you land at nighttime and on the campus, which you're not really sure if you're at the right place or not, and then it's dark. And it's Japan, so you don't feel like it's like not dangerous. But at the same time, we're like, oh, does anyone know? We're just here right now. Who do we contact? Who do we talk to? Anyways, the Lord worked all that out in the ways that he does. But yes, it was, yeah, just coming in, we weren't sure if we were going to have to go get a hotel for the night or anything, just like last minute, anything like that. So just like from the start, it was like, oh, like this is different than what we were expecting. But then, yeah, the Lord started to just like open things and like encourage us in various ways to just kind of like open your hand and let anything fall through and be okay.
This, yeah, really crazy. I think, right, even as you're starting to share about being adaptable, I think you could hear from the people probably who've been on mission trips starting to chuckle because we know how that goes. Even as an established church as it is, there's just so many different things that could come about. Mima, how about for you? Is there other things that you wanted to add to how things worked out?
Yeah, so coming in as our team two, team one had all the ups and downs. So a lot of us are like, yay, like it's gonna be smooth sailing. We know what we're expecting. Oh no, like every day there'll be new things. Like, oh, can you do this today? Can you do that today? Okay, so we had to be adaptable and just really be flexible. Like for myself, Marcy, I knew was leading worship already, like every night. And I was like, I don't play the piano. I'm off the hook. I get in, they're like, oh, you wanna help with worship? I was like, okay, so. And I had to sing all these Japanese songs that I had never sang before, and you know, so, yeah.
That was so good, it was so good. Yeah, so the representative of the two teams, Marcy and Team 1, Mimo with Team 2, yeah, very grateful for what they did, and not just the melon pond, is that what your order?
Yep.
The melon pond?
Every day.
So thank you both, we appreciate you. Okay, so thank you, moms, and let's see Team 2's video. So Damon, can you help us out with seeing the second video here?
うん、かなりクールだったよね。
あの雲を覚えていますか?
Is it dead?
No, it's not. It's not.
Awesome. So let's. There's a little more. Okay, we're all good. We're all good. We'll put that on Instagram so that people can see it after. Okay, well, Team 2. Team 2, come on up. Okay, so Team 2's awesome. I think they had an especially difficult time because you guys were seeing all the different things that were happening with Team 1. And you guys were probably chomping at the bit. So, but we're so thankful for you guys, and you guys did amazing. So introduce yourselves and say school and what grade you guys are going to be in. If you're a leader.
My name is Brandon Hojo, and I'm one of the leaders on the trip.
My name is Ashley, and I'm going to be a senior in high school at John F. Kennedy High School.
Yeah! My name is Gavin. I'm also going to be a senior at Kennedy High School.
My name is Eli. I will be a junior at Valley Christian High School.
My name is Sam. I'm going to be a freshman at UCLA. Yeah!
My name is Grant. I'm going to be a senior at Kennedy High School.
My name is Summer. I'm going to be a senior at McBride High School. Yeah!
My name is Mimo, and I'm in 45th grade.
Yeah! Thank you, guys. Thank you. So As we go along and doing our sharing with Team 1 and 2, Damon will be showing some slideshows, hopefully, on the side there. So kids, you can check out to see a little bit of a picture of what we experienced. So feel free to take a look at that as we're sharing all these different stories. In addition, I believe on our website, we still have it up, our various blogs that we did every day. We shared all various stories behind the scenes, a few pictures, but really showed expressed what was going on. So please check that out. Go onto our website, catalystchristiancommunity.org, and at the top there it says Japan Missions Team 2025. Click on that. You'll see a bunch of different stories. You don't have to see all of them, but they're really, really cool. Some amazing things that God did. Through all our students and our leaders, and yeah, really, really great. Hope to you guys check that out. And if you have, let us know what you thought. I mean, we haven't really heard anything, if even people were reading it. But if you have, let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts and reactions to it. Okay, so next I'd like to introduce a group here that talks about the various things that we did practically on the classroom level. It's interesting because I think the Lord showed us various themes with whether it be adaptability, whether it be building relationships, and depending on the Lord. And as you'll hear various stories, you'll see that thread all the way through, but especially with this group. So let me have the team with the classroom stories. Why don't you guys come on up?
Yay!
Little audio for you there. Okay, so with this group, guys, you are here to share a little bit of what happened in the classroom. What was it like for our purpose to be out there and to teaching English? Could you share a little bit? Give us a picture of what that was looking like.
Oh, so sorry. What was it again?
Share about the classroom. What was it like? What did we do day to day?
Yeah, and so there was four classes, and we would each teach them this one lesson each day, and it was just a really good experience of just sharing with them, teaching them English, and also sharing just God's love for them. So it was us bringing the love that we have, the culture of Catalyst, and then also with the teaching and bringing it over to Japan. And so it was just such a cool experience of just seeing how we're able to impact the church in Japan.
What grades were the different classes?
So it was kindergarten, early elementary school, and then kind of later elementary school, and then middle school.
So what were some of the things that came about during the classrooms for you guys personally? What were some of the experiences that you had?
I think for me, in the classroom, I think a lot of times for me, I was thinking about the lesson, how good it could be. But I think I lost the focus was to build a relationship with the kids. So as much as I wanted the lesson to be really good, I started focusing on being a big brother to them in the classroom by teaching them, by guiding them. And really, as much as it was about the lesson, it was about the kids.
Yeah, yeah. And Evan, can you share a little bit, because you were for Team 1, you were there where it was still kind of being built on what we were supposed to do. So what was that like for the first team?
Yeah, and so for the first team, we were really like the trailblazers. And so we had to establish the early connections with the church, kind of get the feel for how the church was just in general. And so it was, at first, I guess a little scary, right? Because we had to really just be adaptable. But I think that just our team and just our chemistry and just the Holy Spirit working through us, we were able to adapt, and it was just really great seeing how we were able to just really become integrated in just being in that church. And so it was really cool.
Matt, Sid, can you guys share a little bit of like what that was like from the teacher professional side of things, how the first team did?
Yeah, first team did super well. Super proud of everyone, the whole group in total, but Team 1. You know, we're expected to teach four lessons per day, and then we're teaching one lesson to each different classroom. So there was a lot of adjustments, a lot of stretching, but we came together as one, and With that, more surrender and a lot more blessings came from that decision and for us to still be unified.
That's super cool. Sid, how about for Team 2? What was that transition like into Team 2?
For Team 2, obviously it was helpful that we kind of had a feel for like, all right, this is how the kids are, this is how the classroom system works. But Team 2 also did have to like think on the fly and be like, all right, what are we doing for kindergarten today? Or whatever it was. So we ended up making a lot of new lessons. So that was really exciting.
Thank you so much. So how about Sam? How was for Team 2? Even though there was an established rhythm that happened in the first 2 weeks, things were still kind of jumped about when you guys came in. What was it like for you guys, and how did it turn out at the very end?
I think that, you know, Auntie Mima kind of touched on it a little bit, but when we came into it, we were like, okay, you know, obviously things are going to change, but we kind of thought, oh yeah, this is how it's been for 2 weeks. It's going to be like this for 2 weeks. We taught one day normally, and the next day we had to teach a song, and we started teaching a Bible verse, and basically like all of our lesson plans that we planned out the day we got there, like we kind of just threw them out, and we're like, all right, what's next? So I think that, yeah, like everyone said, definitely a lesson in adaptability. But I think we really rose to the occasion. Should I talk about the?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the last lessons we had was with the kindergarten class. We were not planning on teaching that day due to some things that happened. But yeah, I remember we went back to the dorm, and then Jared was like, all right, guys, it's time to go teach kindergarten. And while we're in that classroom, Gav stepped up, played some games with the kids, worked with them, and really just like, yeah, kept them occupied. And it wasn't just like stalling for time, like there was important lessons being learned in that time. And then while that was happening, Jared pulled me and Cindy aside and was like, yeah, what lessons you got? So me and Cindy ran back to the dorm. We started cutting out different shapes from felt. We took a little model airplane. We took a map. And we started just teaching about what the global church looks like and what how we can be praying and how we're connected through Christ, even though we're around the world. And it turned out super well. The kindergartners, you know, even though that's kind of like a pretty like advanced topic, I would say, they grasped it like super well. They were super engaged. One of the kindergartners, she was like, I love all these countries, you know? So that was super cool to hear, because it really showed that, you know, like we threw this together, but we're like, all right, God, you're gonna move in this. And I think he did, and he helped the kindergartners really like learn from that lesson that we threw together like while we were in the classroom, you know? So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if for professionals out there, if you're preparing for a meeting and you take weeks to prepare for it and get ready for this presentation, and you get to the presentation and your boss says, well, actually, we'll probably only use 10% of what you prepared for. I need you to figure out 90% like now. And that's kind of what it was like. And for all of our students to step up, to be adaptable, and really depend on the Lord, to just be like, Lord, whatever you want, we'll do it. And the preparation met the sacrifice that we had put, where it's not from us. And then with that coupling together, awesome things like that happen with like what Sam said. So thank you guys. With us being there, there was absolutely a part of, we're going to a church that is Christian. And then there's an aspect of we're there to support them. So it's not like we're going out there to spread the gospel to the church. The gospel's already flourishing in the church. But what we did was we were there for, they're the 1%. So 99% of Japan roughly is non-Christian. But they're the 1% that is Christian. And so our purpose was for that was to support them and to encourage them and to be give them a breath of fresh air so that, you know, they could recharge themselves. And that was a big part for us, is knowing that they're the 1% and we want to bless them as much as we can and whatever we can to make sure that they are sustained and that number could grow, right? That 1% grows into many, many more. I think that's what we did in the classroom in part. Grant, could you share a little bit about the 99? We didn't want to go out there and just be at the church. We wanted to be out on the streets preaching, spreading the gospel. So can you share a little bit about what that part was like on the trip?
Yeah, so leading up to the trip, a lot of us had the heart for just, spreading the gospel in Japan, planting those seeds, and, like, being a part of the journey of, like, being on mission in Japan. So the Sunday after Team 2 left the church, we went to Ohori Park, which was, like, 20 minutes from our hotel, and we evangelized. So there wasn't really a concrete plan. We just kind of were told to go out and maybe pray for people, like not face-to-face, just like on the side. So I was with Gavin and Eli, and we were kind of walking around for like 20 minutes. We had like an hour and a half, kind of. We decided to do a treasure hunt, and we learned like, a treasure hunt is, we are praying for a specific like physical distinctions of people, like a yellow shirt, like tiger print on their shorts or something, for God to lead us, to guide us, who to go up to. For me personally, I got like a green baseball cap. We were walking around for like 20 minutes. I didn't see anybody with a green baseball cap. But then I saw this guy on, an older guy on a bench by the water. I went up to him. I asked if he spoke Japanese. I asked if he spoke English, sorry. He definitely spoke Japanese. I asked if I could pray for him. He said no. And that was kind of like the mood setter for me, kind of like evangelizing in the park. Like, I felt like, yeah, a lot of people were gonna say no, we weren't gonna reach anyone. But walking around, I saw this European family. The husband also had a green cap, so I kind of walked past them because I got a little nervous. I turned around. I kind of had to like chase them a little bit because they were walking really fast. And I'm like, excuse me, do you speak English? And they're like, a little bit. I asked them where they were from, talked with them a little bit. They said they were from Spain. And I was like, oh, that's perfect because I took 4 years of Spanish. I hope I know Spanish a little bit. So I got to talk with them, pray for them in Spanish. And it was a very cool experience because I never thought I was going to speak Spanish in Japan.
Thank you, guys. Amazing. You're a whole mix, Filipino, Hawaiian, Latino, and you're in Japan speaking Spanish and blessing them. Like, it's kind of mind-boggling to comprehend some of the things that the Lord did. That's just one of the awesome stories that came about. Where we just really surrendered and whatever the Lord wants. And again, the preparation, many of us have been on mission trips as a team in Oregon, and part of that experience still translated, even though that was years ago, still translated on this trip. And so, so awesome to see what happened in the classroom, what happened outside on the streets as we're spreading God's love. And so next, I want to bring up a group of people as they'll be sharing about different testimonies. So can I have the next group come on up, guys? So not only did the church ask us to have classes where we were teaching English, but we were also asked to be part of daily prayer meetings. The prayer meetings had 7 o'clock at night, where we would be part of their worship and the message, which turned out to be sharing testimonies, which these guys will talk about. But in addition, on the weekdays, on Wednesdays, the school in the morning would have chapel, where all the kids were and the whole church was invited to. And that was an interesting aspect of we didn't prepare for, but they were they definitely, as they got to know us, wanted to hear more of our stories. And so, yeah, can you guys share about first with the Wednesday Chapel? What was that like, and what did we do?
Yeah, so I'm part of Team 2, and so they had told us ahead of time, prepare your testimony, you're probably going to share. Okay, and so so me and Garrett shared on the, we had the opportunity to share on the Wednesday. It's they call it chapel. It's very similar to a service, and so they have worship. There's a speaker, worship, offering, and the whole thing. And so the students also go to this chapel. And so it's this really great opportunity for us to share our testimony in front of the whole school. And so that was really cool. And so for me, it was following what Garrett did, because Garrett was part of Team 1. And so I'm actually going to let Garrett share first.
Yeah, so they asked us, oh, your testimonies are really great. Do you have something a little longer that you could share for chapel? And I was very thankful that they asked me to do it, or Jerry asked me to do it. And so they asked us, they wanted it to be about 40 minutes long with translation. So on my end, probably about 20 minutes. And you know, I've spoken before in like those longer formats. And so I was really excited to do it. I've talked to Pastor Barry before, and I've asked him like, oh, how long does it take you to like get your messages ready? He's like, well, like with all of my experience, like it, at this point, it probably takes me about, I can probably throw it together in like 10 hours. And I did not have 10 hours. And so I had about 3 hours. And so I was like, oh man, like I hope this is good, right? Because all the kids were there and I really wanted to bless them, right? All the pastors and leadership were there. And so I had the opportunity to talk. And obviously, right, I will always look back and say, oh, I could have done this better, I could have changed this, but I think it went well. I got to speak about, you know, like how we wanted to continue to build relationships with the church. I was able to share a story about my grandparents and how they took me fishing for the first time. And something about this church that we were serving at is that a lot of them are older. Really, there's like the kids that we were serving in the school and a big jump, and then all the older people. And so I was able to share that testimony, a little bit of like a mini like message. And afterward, people were coming up to me and like telling me that they were like really blessed, that they really enjoyed my sermon, even though I kind of felt like, yeah, it's kind of like whatever. I kind of just told a story for half of it. But yeah, just being able to share something about my grandparents, I felt like the rest of the congregation, the older side of the congregation, was blessed by what I had to share and how much I appreciate my grandparents. Yeah, and so I didn't have much time, but I do think God used the time that I gave and the message that I gave to hopefully, you know, bless them and build a relationship which was really our goal for the whole month. And yes, like they told Hojo, like, oh, just do what Garrett did, which I don't think they should have said that, because like what I did was, it was all right, like, but he did a very good job, and so I will let him tell you about that.
Well, hold on, before you jump in there, it was more than all right with your message. I know that's what it feels, but sometimes our emotions lie to us, and it was amazing. It was amazing. So I encourage everyone to go check it out. Go on YouTube. It's Full Gospel Fukuoka Church is the name of their church. And on their live streams, they have all the different messages, all the different testimonies that we did and Garrett shared. And so we know that there was impact because a lady came up to you. What was that exchange like?
Well, you know, I shared about fishing, right? And so she comes up to me and she goes, I'm so glad you're here because I'm the only one in this church that likes fishing. And so she was like, oh my gosh, like I will take you, like whenever you come back, like let's go. And of course, right, I'm like, okay, like I gotta come back now. And so I hope they invite us back because I would love to go fishing and I would love to serve with them again. But yeah, she was very blessed. And I was very blessed to know that somebody also liked fishing at this church.
Yes, awesome. Hojo, how about for you? You shared and did a teaching on the Wednesday Chapel. And Pastor Elijah comes up to you. What does he say, and what were some of those things that kind of came about after you did your message?
Yeah, so this is actually my first mission trip ever. This is my first time in Japan, and I kind of shared about how why I started it with, I was supposed to come 13 years ago when I was in high school, when I was a senior, and it just didn't end up working out, and I was and it kind of affected how I saw mission trips moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of like, oh, my mission field is more my work. And so I work in Hollywood, and as soon as they say the word Hollywood, they all kind of, oh, Hollywood. Yeah. And so for me, it's just sharing, in that industry, I'm just not the only Christian kind of in a world where a lot of people don't like Christianity. And so I'm trying to speak to more of the adult congregation of, like, you're in a world where people may not understand you or may not even like you. And so as I'm sharing about all this, Pastor Elijah, our interpreter essentially, our translator, he's like, I want to learn more about why you didn't come to Japan 13 years ago. But I think for me, especially looking in hindsight after I'd shared, it made sense for me, if I had gone at the time, 13 years ago, I would not be able to share the testimony that I gave at that time. So coming full circle was like, it was very important of how everything worked out. And so it's interesting on how I feel about missions now. And so it's a really great opportunity that I got to share with them. And before I say anything more, you can watch any of our testimonies on the blog. So if you want to like pick someone out, you can go to the blog and just look for their name. And so all of us shared pretty much. And so I think if you want to know more about what we're talking about, go to the blog. It's there for all of us. And so it was just a really great opportunity to be able to share to their adult congregation along with the entire school.
Yeah, it was so good. I'm so glad that we were part of the first, your first experience on a mission field. And yeah, it was such an amazing time. Let me pass it on to the girls. So we had mentioned about the weeknights, they have prayer meetings at 5 a.m. in the morning. We ain't going to that. There ain't no way we were going to that 5 a.m. Prayer meeting, right? Yeah, I hope you guys were glad that I made that call. So we didn't go to the 5 a.m. Meetings, but the 7 p.m. meetings we went to, and those were awesome. And like I said in the beginning, they first said it was just to be part, just to attend, but then they asked us to be part of it with Marcy, Mimi, leading in worship, and then they were asking us to do testimonies and share our stories to the whole church. And it's crazy because this church, it's probably 100-ish or so in their congregation, including kids, but they're one of the largest churches in Japan. And if you watch their YouTube videos, you could see hundreds of views. So the testimonies that were shared, it was spreading all across the nation. Really, really amazing honor to do so. So Mimi, what was your experience like during those times?
Right, so I was the fourth person to share my testimony. So I had like kind of a picture of what I was supposed to share. I was like, okay, so it's around, you share for about like 8-10 minutes, and then with translation, that doubles it. But initially, I wasn't supposed to go that day, but they're like, hey, you wanna share? And I was like, okay, I'll share. I've shared a testimony before, I got that. And I shared about perfectionism, and I know that's like really big in Japan, just being perfect. And I wanted to share that, hey, it's okay that you're not perfect because God is who makes you perfect. He's perfect in, you're perfect in his eyes. But immediately after I shared my testimony, I was like, oh shoot, that was not good. I was like, oh, it was way too short. Like I kept stumbling, that was not good. And I was, after you share, there's like 30 minutes of not complete silence, but they give you 30 minutes of prayer time. So they play music, and everyone is, it's a Korean church, so everyone is just praying out loud. So there's just like all this noise, and I'm just like sitting there in the dark, and I'm like, what did I do? And I was so worried that I didn't reach anyone, because I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? But then after the prayer meeting was over, Pastor Elijah, who's one of the main pastors at the church, his wife came up to me, and she said, that her oldest son, it was his birthday that day, and he had taken a test that day, and he said that he didn't do well, and he was really upset by it. But then she said that he came to the prayer meeting that night, and he usually didn't come, but he heard my testimony about perfectionism, and he said that he felt comforted by that. So I was like, okay, if I could only reach one person, that's a blessing. And the fact that I blessed him, that was a blessing.
So good. Jordan, how about you? You were kind of maybe a little apprehensive or nervous in the beginning, yes, to share your story. I totally resonate with those feelings of uncertainty. But what was it like for you, and how did it turn about?
Well, so when I first heard that we're going to start sharing testimonies, I was like, oh, shoot. I didn't know we were doing this, you know, because we were signed up for like, oh, yeah, we're teaching the kids. And something I really struggle with, and still do a little bit, is just like speaking in front of people and just like
sharing, I guess, because sometimes I feel like I don't have the words or like they won't get what I'm trying to say. And so when I was told that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to prepare. I need to do all this stuff. And I was so anxious and I felt kind of unqualified to be there. And so when I was like preparing for it, I was just really struggling like emotionally and like I was so nervous. But I talked to some people about it, like Micah and Saku, who's not here, but they just prayed for me and I felt really blessed by that. And when I went up in there and shared, it was actually crazy because I didn't feel nervous like at all. And that was really like the first time that happened to me. And really all I could think of was just like serving God. Like this mission trip is just serving God. And it's like, even though I feel these emotions, like I'm gonna deny them because I want to serve, I want to spread this message and spread God's love. So yeah, that was really cool. Just trusting him, relying on him, just really powered me through that.
So good. So this is a plug for Damon's podcast, John, where his podcast at. Your guys' stories matter. Just the feelings that we had and experienced of uncertainty or, oh, my story doesn't really resonate or I'm just not sure. Your guys' story matters. And it even if it's just to impact one person, it's worth it. It's totally worth it. And I'm so glad that you guys experienced that. And so Summer, my Latina sister, I make fun because even though I'm Filipino, like I grew up in El Monte, so I see myself as Latino. And so I would always joke with Summer, yo, we're the only non-Asians here. We're only the non-Asians on the team. So Summer, what was it like for you and especially sharing your story to the church?
So a funny story, my mom knows this. So I was watching the videos and I was seeing everybody sharing the testimony on team one. So I was like, oh, I'm kind of nervous. You know, I don't do well talking in front of a lot of people. So I started telling her like what I might share. So then Jerry sends over a message and he's like, prepare your testimony. So I'm like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, okay. So then it's Monday, I'm supposed to share. But then I ended up sharing Tuesday, so I was like, okay, some extra time. So then I'm writing down everything, and I'm really nervous, but I go up there, and I'm like mid-testimony. I'm like, does this relate to anybody? So then I walk off, and it goes into prayer time, and then the pastor then goes up again, and he's like, that really touched me and it relates to me. So I just felt like it was really good for me to share, even if I didn't know if it was going to touch anybody, but it was just coming from my heart.
Yeah. So so it wasn't just one of the pastors, it was the pastor, right? And so these guys were like, because they've been part of team one in the beginning, and they're like, he's never come up to any of us to share anything. What was it like after hearing Summer's testimony?
We were like, oh my goodness, she moved his heart so much. But it was really cool because like what Summer shared related to what Pastor Kim had experienced. And that was really cool that like Summer was like, I don't know if anybody's getting it, but she got the guy who was, you know, in charge, whatever. And I think it was a really cool experience for like them to share that. And like, even though they're different ages, even though they're from different parts of the world, like they share that same experience and they share like this cool thing that like God did in their lives.
Matt, how about you? You heard all the different stories. You closed this out in sharing the testimony at the end. What was it like seeing all of our students share for their church?
Yeah, it was really cool to see all the youth kids and even all the college kids too, and some adults too, just share their testimony. And you know, you could really get in your head. You could really think like, am I saying the right thing? Is this like, as they were saying, is this relatable? But you know, just seeing them like at such a young age, just coming up to like, you know, hundreds of people because of online too, and you're sharing your testimony, right? Like, just think like for yourself, like, right? Like, how many opportunities in your life have you ever shared a testimony in front of a congregation, right? So it's really cool that they get to start that at such a young age, because then, right, the sky's the limit for their future and like how they're gonna be pushing the kingdom forward in their own respect. Yeah, so it's really cool.
Yeah, thank you guys, appreciate you. We had probably toward the beginning-ish of our sharing testimonies, one of the little ones, one of the little students came up and shared on the mic, and he says, "One day I wanna be like them and be a missionary." And then he walks off. It was so cute. It was so cute. But kind of side note, as all these kids are kind of around the sanctuary and being around, as a parent, I totally get it of like, oh, sit down, be quiet, don't be disruptive, stop that, put that down, get that out of your mouth. Like, I get that as a parent. I'm totally there. But the culture that we have at our church and also seeing it at their church, just them being in the room. Being in the room makes a difference, and the Spirit comes upon them. Even if they're playing with their Legos, and they're drawing, and they're doing, it doesn't seem like they're paying attention, it hits them. It totally hits them. And so glad that we had that opportunity to share. So thank you guys. Lastly, I'd like to bring up the team on the building side of things, and not just building physical things, but building relationships. And so this was a big thing for us. You know, we're catalyst, right? And so we're all like emotional and lovey-dovey, and I want to give somebody a hug, and announcements are happening, but oh, announcements, I need to finish talking with talking to Matt and finish my story, right? Because we want to be together and we want to talk and share and relate, which is so good. And so Micah, how was that for us being there at Third Church and the relational end of things?
Yeah, so I think maybe a lot of you can relate to this. Like, when you hear mission trip, you think about spreading the gospel to non-believers. Our mission was very different in the fact that we're strengthening and encouraging already existing believers. So like that felt like a shift, but that felt like something that we're really good at. We're really good at being relational. We're really good at just building connections. So I think it was really awesome to be able to not only help and serve their church, but also receiving from them, being so blessed by their faith and their fire. And it's so cool seeing how, even in such a small congregation, everyone exists as a pillar who supports the church. It doesn't really function the same way if one person is removed. There's one of our favorite people there is named Kyoko. She's a teacher, and she's also the worship leader, and then her mom also helps with worship, and she's also a teacher, and then a member of the congregation is the dad. He plays trumpet during worship, and the husband, Kyoko's husband,
plays the drums, and is sound.
So it's like, the church doesn't really work without them, and that's true for everybody in the church. So it's just really cool feeling so, seeing how important everybody is, and getting to be a part of that.
That's so awesome. And we had awesome relationships with the kids too. What were some of the relationships that were built with the kids?
Yeah, so I remember on the lead up to this trip, I was being spiritually attacked a lot with insecurity, and I was like, dang, why am I here? Like, I don't belong here, feeling unequipped, feeling inadequate, a lot of those things. And then even up until like on the plane and like arriving at the church, I'm like, oh, why am I here? Not excited, but just like feeling really out of place. And I think the kickoff to getting activated was, I think it was a Sunday during Sunday school. I was like, we're doing a Sunday school thing and we're sitting with the kids. And then I'm like, you know, sitting and trying to pay attention. And then I see a little head pop up behind Sydney, and I'm like, hey, right? And she goes, behind Sid. And then I was like, okay, that's weird, but that's cool. And then later she comes and like hugs me from behind, right? And I was just like, her name's Lisa. She's like 7 years old, very small, double pigtails. And she speaks English as well, so it was easy to connect with her in that way too, but that ended up being like my best friend on the trip. That's like my little buddy. So it was that for me was confirmation, and I think the Lord spoke to her, like maybe whether she knew it or not, spoke to her and was like, pick him, right? And I think because she picked me, I felt so encouraged. I'm like, oh, I'm doing this for somebody now. Like I have a face to the name, right? It's not just the kids in Japan, it's Lisa, and it's Koki, and it's Kazuto, and it's all like every single one of the kids. It just felt all the more important, and I think that went from me being like, I'll do my best, mm-hmm. right? And when I saw her face and I saw like how much she wanted to be here and how much she wanted to interact with us, I'm like, I'm not gonna give it my best, I'm gonna give it my all, right? Cool. Give everything I have, and like I have closure in that because I know that there's nothing more I could do. I laid it all out there, and yeah, I'm really blessed to have experienced that.
That's so awesome. Ash, Eli, how about you guys? What were some of the other relationships that were built?
Okay, so for me, it was this one girl named Akane. We always joke that she's like one of the leaders of the group. And so something that they do every day before school is they gather in the NPR room and they, you know, sing their songs, recite their the Lord's Prayer, and they dance and do all those things. And Akane was, you know, the person that the kids looked to guide them. And, you know, when they were lost, Akane would be the one that was doing it all the time. She was singing the loudest. One of the things that was highlighted to me was how joyful she was when she did it. And, you know, how smiley she was. And so I really recognized that. And that really encourages me in my leadership. Doing it not only out of obedience, but also with a joyful heart. You know, I think Akane is, you know, someone that inspired all of us, and so it was really cool to see that. And she was one of my partners, or she was like my main partner for a lot of the one-on-one times we had, reciting Psalm 23, doing all the songs. And so it was cool to develop that relationship with her, and also be poured in by her, yeah.
So good. And Eli, we know that you are always running around with our kids, having fun, doing the babysitting when there's classes. So we know your heart for the kids. What was it like for you doing that in Japan, and particularly how any interactions during like prayer meetings or outside of just fun time?
Yeah, overall, I had so much fun. Those kids love tag. I mean, any free time we had, tag, you're it, and they take off, and I go chase them, and it was so much fun building relationships with them. But specifically, the last week Team 2 was there. We had prayer nights every weekday, and at one of the prayer nights, it's prayer time where, you know, everyone's just praying on their own, and I'm kind of looking through my Bible, and one of the kids comes up to me, and he sees, I'm reading a psalm, and he sees the one that we've been learning with them. So he gets all excited because he recognizes it. And he's like, oh, I could say that. So I close my Bible. I'm like, okay, say it to me from memory. He says it to me from memory. I'm like, good job. And then I'm looking at him, and I realize, I'm like, I ask him, do you know what it means when you say this? Do you know what this verse actually means, what the lines mean? And he says no. I'm like, do you want to know? And, you know, I say that, and he looks at me, and his face just kind of lights up with this curiosity, and he says, yeah. So I start going line by line over the psalm with him. We learn Psalm 23. And I kind of explain what each line means and how it relates to our faith. And, you know, I'm explaining, I'm like, am I going too deep? Like, I don't know if he's going to understand this, but I finish and I look at him and he's like, oh. And I'm like, you understand it? He was like, yeah. I was like, yes, he got it. So then that was like probably Tuesday night. So then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I prayed for him all those nights. We would pray for each other. I would pray for him in English, and then he would pray for me in Japanese. I didn't know what he was saying, but it touched me so much to see him pray for me all those nights. And then after we'd pray, we'd open my Bible, and we'd pick out some random verse, and I'd explain to him what that verse meant. And for me, that was my first time really trying to be like a spiritual mentor to a kid, right? I like running around and having fun with the kids, but I've never really tried to be a spiritual mentor to one of them. So seeing him being able to sit down and really try to think about what the verse means and have just such a desire to learn, it really touched my heart and showed me what it's like to be a mentor.
So good, so good. Last to close it out, Sean, could you share real quick about Pastor Elijah? He was our connection there as far as the logistics and how we got there. He was the principal. He's the principal of the school. Can you share a little bit about like, who he was and how we connected with him?
Yeah, like Jerry said, Pastor Elijah was our main connecting point, like before we actually went to Japan. And for me, to be honest, like because we were having like some trouble like communicating with him and contacting him, I was like, yo, like, does he like us? Like, does he want us there? And I just kind of went into Japan. I was thinking like, yo, like, I don't know, we gotta kind of prove ourselves or something. Like, oh, like we actually care and that we want to do this to like Pastor Elijah or Pastor Kim. But you know, we got there and he didn't know that we were gonna like be there when we got there, right? Okay, so yeah, when we got there, like he was like, oh, you guys are here. We're like, yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, like this guy doesn't even know what's going on. But I found out really quickly, like, wow, like he really like has a heart for the Lord and he's excited for us to be here. And I think one of the things, I think Jerry said this, is that he is like, he has like a very catalyst vibe, you know? And to me, it was just like the energy that he brought, the excitement, and also just how like uplifting and encouraging he was. I felt like as we shared our testimonies and, you know, whenever we did anything, when in Team One, when Mimi and Auntie Marcy would lead worship, after all the sessions, he would be like, oh, that was so good. Like, you know, he would say like, oh, I felt like I was in like a concert. Like, it was so good. And yeah, Jerry said something too about like, oh, if we came here and like all that came out of it, that's not that all that came out of it, but if all that came out of it was that we blessed him, like that's enough, you know, because he's already doing so much and pouring so much into the congregation and the kids there. Like we can only do so much in 4 weeks, right? We can only teach the kids so much English in 4 weeks. But Pastor Elijah, he's there and he's pouring into them constantly and serving them constantly. So, you know, for us to uplift him and yeah, just help encourage him, like that was really cool. And yeah, if you guys ever see him or get to meet him, like you'll know what I'm talking about. Like he's like super chill, and yeah, that's why I kind of connected with him. I'm like, oh yeah, like I get you, bro. Like, you know, just go with the flow, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I liked him a lot, and he was really good to us and helped us a lot and lifted us up.
That's good. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you all. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Can I please have the worship team come up? We'll close us out with one more song. But as they come up, I just want to thank you so much, congregation, Catalyst, all the family, friends. All the different stories wasn't possible without your prayers, without financial support, without encouragement, without giving a nudge to our students to, man, go apply for this team. So a huge thank you to the congregation. And for us, I think the biggest thing was this mission mindset, was for us to be in this place of wanting to be in alignment with the Lord, with us surrendering all of our flesh, all of our thoughts, all of whatever we wanted to experience and to have whatever the Lord wants. And so Matt alluded to it. Why don't we have this mission mindset every day? And so that's my encouragement to you guys, that I pray that we have this, be in this place of surrender, of depending on him, of being adaptable, of building relationships. And so much comes about that in the mission field, just like we heard, and so much more will happen when we do that every day in our church. So Marcy and the worship team, if you guys could please close us out in prayer and in worship time. Thank you.